Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. It's good to see you here in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are visitors. It's a joy to have you with us today. We also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later today or in the week. Wherever you are most welcome. And a special welcome to these three visitors who are with us today. What a wonderful response on this Gift Sunday. So thank you to everyone who has taken gifts along to the church today. They will be taken to the Salvation Army and given to children in the area at Christmas. So a wonderful response. Thank you all very much indeed. Let us worship God on this, the third Sunday in Advent. Hymn 281, 281, People Look East, The Time Is Near. The call to prayer comes from Psalm 146. Happy is he whose helper is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, maker of heaven and earth. Let us pray. Living God, you promised that the Messiah would come to set your people free. And Christ has promised that he will come again to establish your eternal kingdom. As we wait, help us to examine ourselves, our words and deeds, our thoughts and attitudes, and let us truly prepare our hearts to welcome you, the fount of immeasurable joy. Gracious God, giver of life in all its fullness and the hope of every contrite heart, we confess our lack of faith and our impatience as we wait for your coming. We allow the world's darkness to permeate our lives, and rather than hold on to the glad tidings of great joy declared by the angel, we permit cynicism and despair to enter our hearts. Loving God, forgive us, and may the light of the Christ child shine in us and through us, that the world might be transformed and justice prevail. Living God, you came to our world not in a blaze of publicity, but almost unnoticed in the quiet of the night. Grant in your mercy that through this holy season, we shall be renewed in hope, strengthened in faith, and equipped for service. So fill us with your peace and joy, and let our lips gladly proclaim the glories of your name. These things we humbly ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, and together as the one people, we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Once again, a word of thanks to everyone who's responded to our Gift Day appeal. Greatly appreciated. Thanks also to all those who supported last weekend's Christmas Tree Festival. In excess of £1,800 was raised. So that is a wonderful sum of money. So thank you again to Dorothy, to all the helpers and sponsors, to everyone who made baking, which was greatly enjoyed, and all who came along to the hall and to the church. A wonderful response and result. So thank you very much for that. Indeed, I was speaking to a friend on the phone yesterday evening, and I was just saying what a generous congregation you are, because there's been quite a number of appeals recently. The Water Aid appeal and the Blythewood Care shoebox appeal and the Erskine appeal too. So thank you for your generosity. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you to all who attended our Christingle service on Friday evening, the first that has been held here, certainly in the course of my own ministry. If the truth be told, I always tried to avoid that. I thought it would be too much work, but it went very well indeed. It was a great atmosphere, and it was wonderful to have members of the Boys' Brigade with us too. And again, thank you to those who baked for the time of fellowship after the service. That was greatly appreciated. And a big thank you to Jake, who prepared the service and led us so very well indeed. Thank you. Friends, following the service today, there'll be a further time of fellowship here in the church. Please do join us if you can. We have carol services this week. Tomorrow, Monday, 2 o'clock, Rosalie Court Care Home, 315 Westerlands Care Home. And then on Wednesday at 2, Eccles Court. It would be good if we had some volunteers to join us and to help with the singing. So if you're able to come along, you'd be very welcome indeed. That's tomorrow at 2, Rosalie, 315 Westerlands, and then Wednesday at 2, Eccles Court. The Tuesday Group Christmas Lunch will be held in Stirling Golf Club on Tuesday at 12:30. We look forward to that. St. Ninian's Primary School Christmas Service in the church this coming Friday at 10 a.m. That's always a great occasion to see the church packed with children and their teachers and parents and other family members in the gallery. And it's one of the great things about this fine church that it's a big church and we're able to hold big attendances. So we look forward to that. The service next Sunday will be a Christmas family service with a sort of nativity. I'll say no more. Just come along and find out what it will be. But we look forward to that, and also delighted that next Sunday there will be a baptism as well. So please do tell others about our Christmas family service next Sunday morning and encourage people to come along. Next Sunday at 3 o'clock, there'll be a time to reflect here in the church. We appreciate that Christmas is not always an easy time for people, for those who have lost a loved one in the course of the year and those who are perhaps anxious about a loved one or a particular situation. It's not easy. And so next Sunday at 3 here, there'll be a short service, a time just to be still and to reflect on the way in which the Christmas message is still good news for all people, regardless of our circumstances. There'll be a service on Christmas Eve at 11:30 p.m. We look forward to that. And finally, the flower calendar for next year is now in the church vestibule. If you would like to donate flowers to the church, please put your name against the Sunday of your choice. And a very sincere word of thanks to those who donate flowers throughout the year. They enhance the sanctuary and are greatly appreciated by those who receive the flowers after the service. Thank you again. Jake.
Well, good morning. If there are any children present, I invite you to come forward, or if you're up top, you can come to the front of the balcony if you'd like. That'd be fine. Oh, we've got a few of you today. Good, good. So as you're coming up, you will see clearly there are a lot of gifts here, right? And you heard Gary mention that today is Gift Sunday. So all these presents, these gifts, have been brought in by members of the congregation, visitors, so that they'll be given to kids for salvation, kids from the Salvation Army, through the Salvation Army. They'll be given to children who need a little extra joy this time of year. And sometimes gifts can bring us a little extra joy, right? We all look forward to gifts, maybe at birthday, and especially this time of year at Christmas. So does anyone, can you tell me any favorite gifts that you've gotten? Can you think of any? How about out here? Any favorite gifts? It doesn't have to be anything complicated. A scratching post for the, yes. For her, for also for the cat. How about you? Any special gifts that you've gotten? No, no. There's got to be something. Well, and I was ready for this. So just in case you couldn't think, I have two things in here that I brought with me. And one is a very special gift that I got years ago. So this is just part of it. So this is just a piece of the gift. So I got a model train from my dad and his wife. They got me this a few years ago for Christmas, and I love to put this up around my Christmas tree. So I put it around the tree, and I brought it with me. It came in a box from the United States. I'm still figuring out how to make that work here with voltage and hertz and all those things, but I still love the gift. It's a very special gift to me. But then I have another thing in here. Let's see, I'll put that here. And this is a gift that's still wrapped. So that's kind of fun too, right? I have a gift that's open, a very special gift to me, and a gift that's still wrapped. So which of these gifts do you think might bring me joy? Yeah, it's kind of a hard question, right? You're just pointing at that one, yeah? Some of you pointing at this one. So yeah, it's a really impossible question because the gifts that we've opened, those certainly bring us joy, right? Because we know maybe who they're from, or we know it was a special thing that we really, really wanted, or it's something we still use all the time. So that brings us joy. But we also, gifts that we haven't opened also bring us a lot of joy, right? Because we don't know what's inside. There's an anticipation, there's excitement. There's endless possibility as to what could be inside this gift. We might shake it around even to see. So we have the gift that we have opened and the gift that we haven't yet, and both can bring us joy. And that's a little bit like what we celebrate during Advent, because this is a season called Advent in the church. You've probably heard us talking about it before. But the season of Advent, we're rejoicing in this gift that we know we have received. We received, Jesus has come to us, right? He came, we celebrated on Christmas, came as a baby in a manger, and we celebrate that wonderful, wonderful gift that Christ came to be with us and that Jesus is still with us. So that's like the gift we've opened. And the gift we haven't opened, we also during Advent are excited because we know that Jesus is going to come again. So it's this thing of anticipation, this excitement that we know Christ will come again. So at Advent, we celebrate the gift we've opened, that Christ is with us, and we celebrate the gift that we haven't opened, that Christ is coming again. So as you think about the gifts under your own tree or think about these gifts, I hope they can remind you that we have this wonderful gift in Christ, and it's a gift that we already have and a gift that we're excited that's coming in the future, that we can rejoice in those things and they can bring us joy. So as a way to help you celebrate that joy, I have a few gifts for you. But before I give them to you, we're going to light the third Advent candle. So we've had one for peace, one for hope, right? One for peace, and then a third one is for joy. Would anyone like to help me light that candle? I know you've helped before, Julia. So let's go. So we'll go over here around the Advent wreath, Advent crown. There you go. There you go. You can light that third candle. Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And I'll give you, I'm new here. So these are Christmas crackers. These are new to me. You can each have one of those as you go. I wouldn't recommend popping it here. Maybe wait till after church, but you can grab one of those as you go. You're very welcome. And I will bring some for you next week, okay? Sorry about that. All right, thank you all for coming up. And we will continue to rejoice in the promise of our God by singing the hymn 285, "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came."
Thank you. First reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 597 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10, on page 597. The desert will rejoice, and flowers will bloom in the wilderness. The desert will sing and shout for joy. It will be as beautiful as the Lebanon mountains and as fertile as the fields of Carmel and Sharon. Everyone will see the Lord's splendor, see his greatness and power. Give strength to hands that are tired and to knees that tremble with weakness. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue, coming to punish your enemies. The blind will be able to see, and the deaf will hear. The lame will leap and dance, and those who cannot speak will shout for joy. Streams of water will flow through the desert. The burning sand will become a lake, and dry land will be filled with springs. Where jackals used to live, marsh grass and reeds will grow. There will be a highway there called the Road of Holiness. No sinner will ever travel that road. No fools will mislead those who follow it. No lions will be there. No fierce animals will pass that way. Those whom the Lord has rescued will travel home by that road. They will reach Jerusalem with gladness, singing and shouting for joy. They will be happy forever, forever free from sorrow and grief. The second reading comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55 on page 48 of the Pew Bible. That's Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, page 48. Mary's Song of Peace. Mary said, "My heart praises the Lord. My soul is glad because of God, my Savior. For he has remembered me, his lowly servant. From now on, all people will call me happy because of the great things the mighty God has done for me. His name is holy. From one generation to another, he shows mercy to those who honor him. He has stretched out his mighty arm and scattered the proud with all their plans. He has brought down mighty kings from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has kept the promise he made to our ancestors, and has come to the help of his servant Israel. He has remembered to show mercy to Abraham and to all his descendants forever." Amen. May God bless this reading from his holy word.
We sing together hymn 291, "When Out of Poverty Is Born." Hymn 291.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Let me ask, when was the last time that you said something like that? You know, these are, of course, the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus, as she sings her song of praise after meeting with her cousin Elizabeth, who's carrying, of course, John the Baptist in her womb. And Mary sings out these words because she is confirmed to be carrying the Messiah, the Son of God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And that is truly a remarkable circumstance, but I don't think that the joy of the Lord is a thing that's only reserved for Mary. So again, I'll ask, when was the last time that you felt that same kind of unrestrained joy? You know, maybe when you think of a joyful time, you think of the birth of a child or the birth of a grandchild, or maybe the day of your wedding. Maybe it was a time when a particularly good test result came back from the doctor or from an exam. Or maybe it was after a great promotion at work. Or, you know, maybe it was after Scotland beat Denmark a few weeks ago. My spirit rejoices. I know for me, I said something like that just this past week after a particularly good haggis supper that I had. It was very good. My soul rejoiced, but I digress. The question that I want us to think about is, what is it that brings you joy? What is it that makes your soul magnify the Lord and your spirit rejoice in God our Savior? Now, in many Christian traditions today, the third Sunday of Advent is known as Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete is the Latin word meaning rejoice. And this is a day that for a long time has been associated with Mary and the joy that she experienced at being chosen to be the mother of God. Now, in the tradition that I came from, in the Lutheran Church, we are very big on symbolism. So throughout the season of Advent, the sanctuary would have been decorated with dark blue cloths. There would have been dark blue cloths on the lectern, on the pulpit, on the altar, even on the pastors. We would all have been covered with dark blue cloths. And for the four candles on the Advent wreath or Advent crown, we would have had three dark blue candles and then one candle that was pink. Now, maybe some of you have seen this before. I don't think the Lutherans invented this idea. But the dark blue that we had on the altar and on the pulpit and on the candles was meant to symbolize that deepest darkness that we experienced before the coming of dawn. So it was a reminder of how, in the same way that we wait for the sun to rise in the darkness of a winter night, so too we wait with certainty for Christ to come and then bring light to our darkness. I know it's a wonderful poetic image, isn't it? So while Advent was a season of hope and expectation, it was also a season of repentance and a season of acknowledgement of the sin and the brokenness and the darkness that are still so prevalent in our lives and in our world. But on this Sunday, on the third Sunday in Advent, we would light that pink candle for Gaudete Sunday as a reminder of both Mary's faithfulness and as a reminder that even on the darkest of nights and the darkest of winters, there is cause to rejoice. There is reason for joy. So that simple single pink candle was a reminder that no matter how difficult things might be, or no matter how dark the night might be, we could lift our voices with Mary to say, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, with God my Savior." So again, what is it that makes you rejoice? What is it that makes your soul magnify the Lord? And I would say there is nothing wrong with a good Scotland football victory or a good haggis supper. But we get the sense in Mary's words that there is something more going on for her, right? There's a deeper meaning that we are invited into in this song she sings and the joy that she shares. If we were to, you know, step back in time and look into Mary's situation from the outside looking in that moment that she sings this song, there wouldn't be a lot for her to rejoice about. For starters, Mary was young, she was unwed, and she was pregnant. And she was living in a time and a place where that was not a great combination for someone to be. And add on to this the fact that she was living in a country that was politically divided and forcibly occupied by a foreign army. So the land of Israel, the land of Galilee where she lived, had long been occupied by the Romans. And the city of Nazareth, where Mary lived, where Jesus grew up, was just a few miles from a town called Sepphoris. And I bring this town up because it's a great example of what life was like for Galileans like Mary and Joseph and Jesus at this time. Sepphoris was a city which was a center of arts and culture, but in the year 4 BC, which according to many scholars is quite possibly the year that Christ himself was born, the city of Sepphoris was destroyed, or nearly destroyed, by forces loyal to Rome, because Sepphoris was a hub of revolt and activism against the Roman occupation. And as a result of that destruction, somewhere around 30,000 of its inhabitants were either killed or sold into slavery. I know, Merry Christmas, right? But it turns out, you know, the peace of Rome wasn't exactly peace for everyone. So this destruction in Sepphoris likely took place shortly after the birth of Christ, and we know this because of things like the date of Herod's death and lunar cycles. People much smarter than I have figured these things out. But I share that little bit of history and a snippet in time just to give a little bit of a glimpse into what Mary's world was like at the time that she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and sing this song. You know, for her and for the people of Galilee, life was not easy. Let's just say there were no haggis suppers or football victories for Mary. Yet despite her outward circumstances, and despite the outward circumstances of her people and her surroundings, Mary rejoices. And as she rejoices, she lifts her voice in song to speak and to sing of the hope and the promises of God. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And one thing that I've always been amazed by in Mary's song is how much of what she proclaims is in the past tense. If we hear the words of her song as it goes on, she says, God has looked with favor on his servant. God has done great things for me. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant in Israel, or servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy according to his promise. So again, Mary is an unwed, pregnant, likely teen in an occupied country where violence and destruction are never far away. But she sings of joy. She rejoices. You know, we have the benefit of hindsight. We know who Jesus is. We know how the story ends. But for Mary, you know, Jesus isn't there yet. There's been no water turned into wine, no feeding of the 5,000, no walking on water, no healing of lepers, no raising of Lazarus. So for Mary, Christ is promised, but Christ has not yet come. For Mary, the manger is still empty. You know, all she has is the promise of God and the excitement of her cousin. But for Mary, that is enough. She trusts so deeply in God's promise that she speaks of it as though it has already happened. She holds on to hope and she clings to that promise so firmly that despite her circumstances and despite the very challenging situation that she is in and the challenging situation that surrounds her, Mary is able to rejoice in the promise. She's able to have joy in the expectation of God's activity. And we then are invited to do the same. And it's no secret that we ourselves live in challenging times. Politicians divide, wars threaten, the climate changes, and thanks to the internet and our phones and social media, we have these realities and more in front of us all of the time. And if that's not enough, we continue to face all of those more personal challenges of everyday life, broken relationships, lost loved ones, failing health, and yes, even occasionally soggy haggis suppers and football losses. But in the midst of all of that, Christ has come. In the midst of all of that, we know the promise. We hold on to the hope. Because in many ways, at many times, it feels like we are living in that deepest darkness just before the dawn. But again, this Sunday and this season remind us to rejoice, because God's mercy extends beyond our circumstances, because God's promise extends beyond this moment, because God's love extends to all. You know, both of our readings this morning really give us a beautiful vision of what that promise looks like, what that hope is that we are invited into as we consider this promise of God. And they both paint a picture of an incredible reversal. In Mary's song, we hear of how God has scattered the proud and brought down the powerful, and he has lifted up the lowly, how God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. And then in our first reading from Isaiah, we hear the promise of God to a people in exile, telling them that the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall blossom and rejoice. The waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. Isaiah says, burning sands shall become pools, and the haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. I like that one particularly. But then, Isaiah says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of speech, the speechless will sing for joy. Now, to our modern ears, that might sound a little bit ableist to use that word, but what Isaiah and Mary are saying is that God's promise is that one day all creation will be restored to the joy and to the purpose for which God intended it. Isaiah is saying that all of the things that hold us or that hold any and all people back from living the full and abundant life that God intends, all of those things will be reversed one day. All of those things will one day be erased. And this is good news. This is reason to rejoice, you know, especially if we consider those in our world who suffer the most, those people who struggle daily for home or food or health or purpose, those who live among us with addiction or loneliness or discrimination, those who struggle under the oppression of the unjust structures and systems of our world, systems that so often benefit a few while holding down many. Now, these verses promise that God will bring justice to all people, and with justice will come joy. And as people of promise, as people who hold on to that hope despite all circumstances, as people who look forward to Christ's coming, we are then freed to live into that promise. As people of faith, no matter what our circumstances are, good, bad, or in between, along with Mary, we trust that God is God, and we believe that God is good. And so we are freed to live into that promise, to share what we have, to share who we are, and to share the hope that we have with one another and with all people who are in need. At the very end of our reading this morning, the first reading, Isaiah describes his hope, or our hope and his prophecy, with these words saying, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. I always liked that last part. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Because let's face it, if you're like me, we're all a little foolish from time to time, right? Okay, sometimes we're a lot foolish. But in God's mercy, even we on our worst day will not go astray, because we know that Jesus Christ is the way. He is the road for us and for all people everywhere. So today and every day, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how dark the night may become, let us rejoice in that hope and share that promise that Christ is our hope, that Christ is coming. Christ is here now, and Christ will be always and for all. So thanks be to God. Amen. Together we sing of that hope in the hymn "Of the Father's Love Begotten," hymn 319. And we sing selected verses, verses 1 through 3 and verse 6.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you for the wonder of your love, for your generous provision of all that we need, for the love of family and friends, and for all in this earthly life that gives meaning and fulfillment. Lord God, in the fullness of time, you sent your Son to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to bring light into the world's darkness. We, your people, thank you for Jesus, the Word made flesh, the one who transforms our mourning into gladness and our despair into a garment of praise. Generous God, you call us to rejoice in the Lord. We praise you for his humble birth, his life of service, his sacrificial death, and his glorious rising again. and echoing the words of the prophet Isaiah, we draw water with joy from the wells of salvation. Gracious God, as we await the coming of the Lord, we bring before you our prayers for the church, the world, and those in need. For the church, we pray for all who bear witness to the light, that we may have the grace and confidence to gladly proclaim your greatness and to share your joy. For the world, we pray for an end to conflict and poverty, for peace and goodwill on earth, and for that day when justice will prevail for the betterment of all people. For those in need, we lift up those struggling with physical or mental illness, those recovering from surgery, and their loved ones, the lonely, those weighed down by worry or despair, and those whose lives on earth are now drawing to a close. And we pray for those who mourn, remembering as we do the families and friends of Flora Nicholson, Norman McIntosh, Jimmy Mackey, and Leslie Logie. Be to them and all in our thoughts, O God, a source of comfort and peace. Generous God, we thank you for the assurance that your kingdom shall come and your will be done. In that knowledge, let us make known your hope, peace, joy, and love, and celebrate with thanksgiving the one who came and will come again, even Jesus Christ our Lord. In his great name, we offer this, our prayer. Amen. Friends, a reminder of the invitation to wait behind in the church after the service for some tea, coffee and biscuits and a further time of fellowship. It would be good to see you. In light of the fact there's a lot of infections about, and not least the flu as well, which we all want to avoid, while Jake and I will go to the door, we think it's better if we don't actually shake hands. We don't want to pass on any germs that we might have, nor do we want to receive any germs that you might have. So we'll maybe just have that policy for the next few weeks. But I do hope and pray, we both hope and pray, you all keep well. Our closing hymn, hymn 320. 320, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.